In this series called Growing, and it's a study of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. And today we come to an interesting chapter, one that is often used in many marriage counseling sessions and also arguments. I will tell you that we will not get to the husband and wife portion today. We'll get to that next week. But we're going to split this chapter into 2 weeks because I think it's important enough for us to understand. When I was a young man, I used to dream of what it would be like to be in love. I had visions of being in love and had visions of who that might be. See, I am at heart a hugely romantic person. I love to just do romantic things for my wife and I don't think you could have said that. And then look up when wife's walking in. I know I'm a little unlike many men that were my age when I was younger. I just couldn't wait to be married. That's what I thought. I look forward to the day I could be married. I look forward to the day that I could spend my life with my wife. Wait a minute, what are you saying over there? Okay. Oh, yeah, it was. See, at the age of 17, I started praying for my wife. I didn't know it was going to be her, of course, at age 17. But I began praying for my wife. And I made it a purpose in my life to do that every single night before I'd go to bed. I'd pray and ask the Lord to bring me someone who would be my perfect match. And he did. It took me a few years to find her, or for her to find me. But we did come together. But my wife and I are two different people. Right? That's quite all right. But what we have learned to do, and what I think Ephesians 5 tells us how to do, is come together in love in the Lord. See, love is an interesting word today. And I know all of you guys are rolling your head. Pastor, Valentine's Day was on Friday. It's the Sunday after Valentine's Day. Why are you doing a message on love? Well, Ephesians 5 starts with love. And I just want you to understand that before we can even understand, you know, Ephesians 5 often gives us wrap up. I'm going to bring this up because I'm going to give you the end of the chapter, because the end of the chapter talks about how husbands need to love their wives as a church, and wives should be submissive to their husbands. And that's something that we often hear a lot about. That happens a lot. But what we don't often hear is Paul's setup to that. Paul's setup of those very things, those roles in the marriage that happen. Because there are roles in marriage. Roles, not like not R-U-L-E-S, but roles, R-O-L-E-S, right? Roles of husbands and wives, those sorts of things. But what we need to understand, before we can understand the roles, we have to understand what it means to be in love. What it means to be loving to someone. See, I made a commitment to my wife the day that we got married. I told her that I would love her more each day than I did the day before. I'm sure that over the 29 years that we have been married, that I have failed from day to day in that, but I try to make that commitment in my heart, and I try to make that commitment in my mind, that every day I'm going to try to find a new way to love, a way that I can love her even more than I did the previous day. I can honestly say that after 29 years, we are still loving and growing in our love for each other. Ephesians 5 is a chapter about a few things, as I have said, and we're going to get to that part about husbands and wives. But before we go there, you have to see what Paul is saying to the Ephesians. You have to understand what he's saying. You have to understand what love is itself. Because in order for us to be a good husband, to be a good wife, in order for us to be a good friend, in order for us to be a good family member, we have to understand what love is. Because God is love, John tells us that. And we have to understand that when John tells us that God is love, what that means is that he is who we are. And so we must learn to walk in that love. And so I'm going to jump into Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. We'll be reading 1 through 10. And then we'll pray and jump into this message. So will you read with me, please? Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Paul is telling the Ephesians, before we move on, just real quickly, he's telling the Ephesians to walk in love. Some people need to hear that today, because there are a lot of people that don't walk in love today. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people that walk with, well, let's just say a stick in a certain spot, right, that needs to be removed. But we are called to walk in love instead. He goes on, and he says, but sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. Let therefore no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral, or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an adulterer, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you are doing in our lives. We thank you for just the example of what true love really is, Father. We pray that we can understand that today. Not just in our marriage relationships, not just in our spouses, or with our wives or with our husbands, Father, but instead, can we learn to love not only them, truly, the way that they deserve to be loved, but also can we learn to love each other the way that you would have us to love. Lord, you are the perfect example. Jesus, you are the perfect example of love. And so, Lord, we commit to you today. Help us, grow us. Let us expand our hearts to understand truly what love is and what you say it is. Lord, I pray that my words would not be my own, but that you truly speak through me today. Give me your words to speak, Father, hear from you and your wisdom. Holy Spirit, come and open our ears and our eyes and our senses so that we can understand what you would be saying to us today. We'll be sure to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, because you deserve that and so much more, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you all should start to be a little concerned, because if you understand, pastor's talking about a message of love. And the verse actually begins, and Paul actually doesn't just stop with love. He actually says a little bit more about what love is. And I'm going to also say some things today that might make a few of you a little uncomfortable, but that's okay. Other than a little baby that Sarah's holding here, we're all adults in the room, right? And I want you to understand something here. Love is not what the world makes it to be today. We just got done with Valentine's Day. It's so funny. I happened to walk into Giant Eagle on Valentine's Day. And I don't know if any of you have ever been to Giant Eagle on Valentine's Day, but it is overrun with guys buying flowers. It was quite hilarious, actually. And I had an older man look at me, and he goes, are you buying your wife flowers too, Sonny? And I said, I did. They were delivered to her school on Wednesday. I beat the rush. And he goes, congratulations, you win. So I'm not trying to win anything, sir. But the interesting part about it is that what does the world tell us that love is? The world around us shows us what love is. And when I say shows us, all you have to do is turn on your TV and watch a show today. Love is not, the love that the world is showing is really what we would classify, should classify, as intimacy. It is not really the love that God talks about. Love, God and Paul specifically tells us how to love each other. The world tells us how to lust after each other. The world tells us that you have to do this, you have to act this way, you have to be this certain way. Listen, the most dangerous thing that ever happened in this world for men is porn. I'm going to be really honest with you, because it rewires your brain to what love, what you think love is. And by the way, it's not just for men. It's women also have this issue too. But mostly men suffer. A lot of men, I should say, suffer through this idea of what love is. They're gaining their idea of what their relationship with their wife should be, both outside of the bedroom and also inside the bedroom by what they're watching on TV. And that is wrong. That is not what it was intended to do. That was not, maybe that's what they intended to do, but that's not what God intended love to be. Now, if you're sitting here and you're going, Pastor, you don't understand, I'm single. I don't have to worry about any of these things. Love is more than just what happens between a husband and wife. Love is what happens between all of us. In fact, I would go one step further and say the only way that we can have a true relationship with Christ today is to understand exactly what love is. Because if we don't understand love, then we're not going to understand what God did for us. So we have to ask ourselves, what is truly love? Well, Paul begins to tell us what love is. And love, number one, starts with imitating God. Paul says, therefore, be imitators of God, beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. There's a lot of things in there, but the very first thing that Paul tells us is that love is imitating God. It's imitating who God is. When you love someone, whether that's your husband or your wife or your child or a friend or a family member, when you're loving them, what you're doing is you're imitating God. You're imitating who he is. You're imitating what he has done for us. And so you have to understand that if you want to love truly the way that the Bible tells us to love, that means start by loving the way that God loves. We have to understand exactly what that means. See, what Paul goes on to tell us, though, very clearly, is that for at one time, verse 8 says, for one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. See, previous to knowing the Lord, you did not know truly what love is. But now, if you call yourself a Christian today, you're not walking in that darkness. You're not walking in that way. If you are a Christian today, then you are walking in the light that he has given to you. Which means that we must learn to understand exactly how he loves so that we can be all that he calls us to be. Paul tells us that love is imitating God. Be like Jesus, right? WWJD. If you understand that, you're old. I know, right? I am too, because I wore the bracelet, right? WWJD, if you don't know what that means what would Jesus do? You know, back in when I was in youth group, back when the TV was being created, there was bands. Not quite. We were the remote controller, just to let you guys all know.
Yeah,
remote controller. We were the ones. We had the 13. But we used to have those bracelets that we wanted, WWJD. But truly, if you want to know what love is, it's imitating God. It's imitating what Jesus does. What does Jesus do? Jesus does a few things. Paul tells us that love requires sacrifice. What did Jesus do on the cross? He sacrificed his life. He sacrificed everything that he was for you and I. He gave up his life. He gave up all that he is. See, if you understand that if love is sacrifice, then the latter part of this portion of the scripture is going to make so much more sense. But today, if you love someone, it means you're going to need to sacrifice. It means you're going to have to let go of some of those feelings, some of those things that you want to do for the betterment of that person. You're going to have to sacrifice something that you want for that person. You're going to have to do something more for that person. Is there a problem? My wife is like giving me signals without telling me exactly what's going on. Yes, I didn't understand that. I'm going to repeat this in a little bit, but love requires sacrifice. To really love someone, you're going to be required to sacrifice. Anytime you love someone, it doesn't matter whether you're a husband or a wife, whether you're a family member, whether you're a child, you have to sacrifice something to love. Love requires a sacrifice. And why? Because to truly love someone, it means you have to give of yourself something of yourself to that other person. Keep that in the back of your mind. Jesus was the ultimate act of love, sacrificed everything for you and I by giving, or you and me, I guess is the correct English, right? For the ultimate act of love. He sacrificed everything by giving up everything, his life, his desires, everything. He gave everything up. Do you understand that? He did not go and say, I really don't want to die on the cross. I'd rather do this. No, he did. He sacrificed his will for the Father's will, and he went to the cross and died for you and I. To really love like Jesus is going to require you to sacrifice. It's going to require you to say, I don't really want to go to this place today to eat, but I'll go to this place instead because this is where my wife or my spouse wants to go. It means I'm going to let go of this desire that I have because I'm going to love this person and I'm going to honor them and do maybe what they want to do. Love requires sacrifice. Number three, love has substance. Verse number 6 says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Love has substance to it. Now listen, I'm gonna park here for a moment because we have to have a real good conversation, and I want to do this. And I do want to do this, but the Lord was leading me to do this. Today the world tells you that love can be whatever it wants to be, right? Oh, I can love this, I can love this person, I can love this person, I can do this. But God says, no, you have to sacrifice first of all. And then love is more than words. You understand that? Love is also action. And so I'm going to speak to those people out there today, those single people out there today, that are looking to start a relationship. Sorry, guys, I'm looking at you guys over there. Some of you over there, younger. Well, you're getting too sick, okay? You know, I had a friend one time that, a friend, and also a family member, but it was the same way, but she always picked the wrong people. She always did. Always just, it was like, every time I met this person, this was, they would be dating someone new, and I'd be like, oh, great, here we go again. And within 30 seconds, I could say, this person's not going to work out for her. But she tried. And so I stopped, and I went up to her one day, and I said, listen, you know what, you need to stop. Your picker is broken, right? That's what I said. Your chooser is broken. You have a broken chooser, a broken picker, whatever you want to call it. And you need to rearrange that broken picker, that broken chooser. And let's start picking people that have substance. Just because, listen, ladies, just because a man says, I love you, doesn't mean it gives him the right to jump in bed with you, okay? You understand that? Because in the world today, oh, if I buy her flowers, if I give her candy, if I say something sweet to her, guess what? I'm just gonna do all of these things for you because he loves me. He doesn't love you. He has some hormones going through his brain, and you see, those are what's leading him. It has nothing to do with love. It has everything to do with lust. And so when we get to this place, I really want to have this conversation with a whole bunch of high school girls, right? Because I need to sit down and tell these girls, man, open up your stinking eyes and see who that person really is. Because we have to understand that love is much more than just words. It has to have substance to it. And if it doesn't have substance to it, then walk away from it. Or if you're loving someone without substance, then you better get on your game. Better start giving some substance in that love. You better start sacrificing for that person. I laugh because it was this past fall. We were on a trip to the tree lighting festival. I was in the bus with a whole bunch of 7th and 8th graders. in high school, but I was around 7th and 8th graders. And these girls were going, I think he loves me. And I just stopped for a moment and said, do you really know what love is? Yeah, it's when a boy sent me an emoji with a heart coming out of his mouth. And I'm like, that's not love, honey. And I asked her, I said, why do you think he loves you? Well, he says sweet things to me. That's great. Has he done anything for you? What do you mean? Well, has he pulled out a chair for you? Has he opened a door for you? Has he went and maybe sat down next to you at lunch and defended you to the people that are around you and said these positive things? Well, that's old-fashioned love. No, that's what true love is. True love has substance to it. True love has sacrifice to it. True love has an important avenue to it. See, Paul tells us that love is not just merely words. Love is way more than that. I want you to understand that today, in the world today, it is so mixed up with what love is. One of the greatest things this is not embarrassing for me, but it may be embarrassing for all of you, but that's okay. One of the greatest things I ever did was when I gave my life to the Lord at 16 years old. I didn't see my wife then. Prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, I want to give a gift to my wife. You know, Hebrews tells us that marriage should be honored, and the marriage bed should be honored as well. By the way, today the world around us tells us to go out and have fun. Can you hear what I'm saying without saying it? I'll say it if I need to say it. There's nothing wrong, ladies and gentlemen, with holding on to yourself and giving that to your spousal. Give it to your spouse when you get married. And I just didn't, that didn't sound very good. Oh, virginity is not bad.
My curse is on.
Sex before marriage. You know what scripture? I'm a pastor. I can preach what's in the Bible. You know what the Bible tells me? The Bible tells me that sex before marriage is a sin. And you should not be. And by the way, this isn't just for those. I know all the. And your grandsons are looking at me. I came to church at the wrong minute, right? But let me go one step further. For all of you single ladies in here and all you single men who are older, that goes for you as well. This isn't just a high school or college thing. If you're not married, then you should not be giving it to your husband or to your it is important for us hang on to what love really is. Intimacy, sex was created as a gift from God for those who are married. And it is something that you give to your spouse. The greatest thing that I could ever give to my wife was on my marriage day, I could look at my wife in her eyes and say, I am giving you this. I kept myself pure until the day I got married for her. Was it easy? No, it's not easy. I'm a man after all. But it was a choice I made because I wanted to give her something special. You too can have that. But it's not just that. Listen, love is much more than that. The world tells us that love is all about sex, and that's not the case. Stop falling for that. The hormones that are running through your body can't be controlled by you. God did not leave you without that. He told you to control those things. So control them. It's a beautiful thing.
it's a beautiful thing for marriage.
Now let me go back and just talk for a moment here about love that doesn't include, that goes beyond the bedroom. See, husbands and wives, family members, friends, to love like Christ means that you're going to think less of yourself and more of that person. There's no other way to say that. Instead of going into that person saying, I want this, I want that, I want this, no, you go to that person saying, what can I do to serve you today? That's what love is. Love is serving each other, serving that person, laying down your life for that person, laying down your desires for that person, laying down the things that you thought were so important. That doesn't mean that you give up everything that you are. No, you have your own personality. But love doesn't think of itself. It thinks of the other person. The world around us tells us that love should be all about what we want, what makes us feel good, what we should desire, all those things. That is not the case, by the way. That's not the case in family relationships, and that's certainly not the case in marriage relationships. If we would learn to love the way that Christ calls us to love, how much better would our friendships be? How much better would our families be? How much better would our work environments be? How much better would our community be if we would learn to love like Christ, where we would desire not our own desires, but we would desire to make the other person happy, and that we would lay down our lives for that person? The truth of the matter is that we are so far away. The world has caused us to see love in such a way. See, this is, again, one of those words, and I've said this before, but love is a word that's totally abused by the English language. Abused in many different ways, by the way. But when I say the translation of the word love that we use in the English language is so, there are so many different levels to love in Scripture. But at the end of the day, it all has these three things. It has sacrifice. It has substance, and it, most importantly, is imitating God. So how can you imitate God today? If you're here today and someone tells you, I love you, you should ask them, if they haven't proven it, ask them how. It's okay. Listen, I think it would be a great conversation. Maybe my idea of a great conversation is different. I think it would be a great conversation for husbands and wives and family members to say, how can I love you more than I do today? How can I show my love towards you today? Because, see, we should celebrate love more than just one day a week, or one day a month, or one day a year, for that matter. Valentine's Day is a great, I'm not a Hallmark person, I don't care, you know, but it is, I love celebrating love, and that's great, that's wonderful. Let's do it, right? But it shouldn't stop just on February 14th. So February 15th, February 16th, July 15th, August, September, every one of those days there should be love. Every one of those days you should be loving your spouse, loving your family members, loving your community, loving each other the way that they deserve to be loved. The way that they deserve to be loved is if you're truly in a relationship with Christ, if you truly know Christ, if you truly have accepted him on the cross, that it is imitating what he has done. And what did he do? He gave everything that he had for us in love. There's nothing that he held on to. Nothing that he said, I'm going to keep a hold of this. No, he gave it all. Desires, he gave up. Pain, he gave. He dealt with pain on his own body because he loved us. See, the blurred lines that we made today have made this such a difficult discussion to have, and it shouldn't be. The blurred lines that the world makes with love today makes this idea of love something about intimacy. And so when you go and you tell someone, I love you, they immediately go, you do? Yeah, it's okay. It's okay for men to tell another man, I love you. It really is. Because if you have true heartfelt devotion for God in your heart, if you have that true feeling in your heart, it's okay to look at a friend and say, I love you. Because what does that mean? That means that you're willing to sacrifice for that person. You're willing to imitate God for that person. You're willing to... show proof of that love. Love is much more than what the world makes it out to be today. We have to be better. We have to be the ones that imitate love. That starts with us in the church. How do we love each other? It starts with our community. How do we love our community? And then it also extends from there. Christians should be the ones who love each other more than anyone else. 100%. If you're married today and you're a Christian, your marriage should be the best marriage ever. Because why? You're imitating God for that marriage. If you're here today and you're a Christian, then you should love the people around you better than anyone else. Why? Because you're imitating the perfect person of whom love is. But what has happened is the world has hijacked love and abused it and made it all about intimacy. I made it all about something else. So I made a comment before the saying that I was able to give my wife a gift on our marriage day. The world, I remember telling this story one time to a group of younger kids, and they were, not younger kids, that's a weird conversation we have with young kids, right? When I say younger kids, I mean high school kids. When I was having this conversation with some high school kids, and they're all looking at me, and they all started laughing at me. Oh, I can't believe you. I said, this is the greatest thing I could have ever done. Why? Because I sacrificed for her. It wasn't because I didn't have the desire. It wasn't because I didn't want this. It wasn't because I didn't have all these other things. It was because I wanted to give her a gift. Because I wanted to sacrifice. I wanted to show what true love is. If you're here today and you're married, may I just say, how are you doing in your love? If you're here today and you're dating someone, how is that person you're dating doing in love? Are they sacrificing for you? Is there substance behind this, or are they just speaking words? Listen, we gotta get past it. You're welcome to hold them accountable to providing something more than just mere words. I love you is not enough. This is one of those places where those words have to have action behind them. Because if you're really angry at someone and you walk up and say, I love you, yeah, right, you do. Show me. Prove to each other. And that goes not just in marriage relationships, by the way. How are we loving each other in the church? Are you loving your co-church members? Are you willing to sacrifice for them? Are you willing to lay your life down for them? Are you willing to... some people go, I don't even know people enough to lay down your life for me. That's okay. Then get to know them. Loving them would be... I don't know you, then I will know you because I want to be able to love you the way that God calls me to love. The worship team, come, will you stand with this? A little bit more awkward than it was before.
Oh yeah. Probably.
Just one picture.
Raise
yourself. I'm gonna challenge us all. I'm gonna start with you, single younger ladies and gentlemen that are in this room. I challenge you right now to be different than the world around you. I challenge you to date without the expectation of sex. I challenge you to hold yourself pure until the day that you get married and you can give that gift to your spouse. I challenge you right here, right now, because you can do it. And if you've already done it, then start over again. Would you like to play a word here? But the truth of the matter is save yourself. That's what Scripture tells us to do. Scripture tells us to hold on to something special, to give that, to make our marriage bed undefined. So I challenge you to do that today. If you're in this room and you're single, I don't care what your age is, I challenge you today. Be different than the world around you. The world around you will tell you to do whatever makes you feel good. But I'm telling you, hogwash, old crap, whatever you want to call it. Do what God tells you to do, and you'll go a lot further than what the world around you tells you to do. My challenge to all of the rest of you in this room that are married, all of us, a challenge to all of us, this is everyone, not just married people. Can we love each other in a greater way? Can we sacrifice for each other? Can we get past the way the world says love should be, get to the way that God says love should be? Can we love the way that Jesus loved us? Can we love every single thing, even his last breath he gave to us? We're supposed to be those imitators. Paul tells us to be imitators of God in love. By the way, Ephesians 5 goes from teaching us how to love into how to walk in wisdom and how to walk in love. There's by no mistake that Paul started with this idea of walking in love before he met with wisdom and light. You know why he did that? Because you can't walk in wisdom and you can't walk in light if you're not first walking in love. Because you learn how to walk in wisdom, you learn how to walk in God, light, by the way, being God. You learn how to walk in those things when you first learn how to love. Paul's telling you, start with love. This is the foundation of all things. When your heart and you truly understand what love is, then you can do wise things. You can make wise choices. And you can walk in that light. But you have to first love. Why do we go out and we share Christ with the people in our community? Because we love them. Why do we love them? Because they did something nice to us? No. We love them because God loves them. And he calls us to love them as well. But it's not just our community outside these walls. It's also our community inside these walls as well. Know each other well enough to love them? If I ask you today, go up to someone that you haven't spent a lot of time with, walk up to them and say, I love you. How awkward would that be? For some of you, it might be really weird because you've never met that person before. Or you don't know them all that well. So may I encourage you today, get to that place where you know someone well enough, that you know the people inside this church well enough, that you can go up to them and say, I do love you. It's time that you grow. Paul's telling us. Paul encouraged us to get beyond the milk, to get beyond the baby food. And that's gorgeous and greater. More difficult things to grasp hold of. None of that is possible if we don't love each other. Walking that love. Learn to understand what that love is. Be who Jesus calls us to be. We pray for this. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for who you are. Thank you for all that you have done for us. I thank you most importantly for how you love us, Father, and how you give us that example to love others like you love. Paul tells us to be imitators of God. And so, Lord Jesus, we ask you, help us to walk in that love. Help us to walk in those steps to loving each other the way that they deserve to be loved. That those people are your children of God, Father. They also deserve to be loved like you. And so, Lord, help us to do that today. With people inside our families, with people inside of our church, with people outside in our communities, Father, help us to learn to love people in that way, the way that we love. Lord Jesus, help us make a, help us have a commitment in our hearts to love people like you would. And when we're faced with that situation, may we ask, how would Jesus love that person right now? And am I being an imitator of that love? Am I sacrificing something for that love? Am I giving substance to that love? Not just mere words, but actual substance. Jesus, you proved to us your love for us by dying on the cross. Help us to love you and others with substance. The way that you lead us and guide us. And Father, I pray finally for those younger generations that are here, that those single men and ladies that are here today, may you give them the strength to hang on to this gift that you have given to them to give to their spouse the day of their wedding day. May they come against what the world tells them, that this is impossible, that this isn't something that you should do, that all those are all lies from Satan. Help us to make a commitment that we can live with you and for you, so that we too can give that gift to them on their wedding day. Lord Jesus, I pray, just ask you to be encouraged, to strengthen the resolve of those that need it, that they would hear from you and be led by you. Help us to walk in that. Help us to walk in your strength, your power, to overcome all of these things in our lives. Lord, it starts with a relationship with you. You proved to us on that cross that you died for us. Our love for others starts with our relationship with you. You're here today. You've never had a relationship with him. You've never asked him into your heart. This is simply as what Romans 10 verse 9 says, that if we confess with our mouth, and we believe in our heart that Jesus died on the cross for us, and we repent of our sin, we say, forgive us of what we have done. Become my Savior. We can have that relationship with him. That love is revealed and it is renewed inside of you. Oh, you know that promise. If you're here today, you've never said those words. Let those words be true. Start with that. Learn to love each other the way that God loves us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to do that today. Help us to love in that way. We glorify you, Father. We honor you. We praise you now. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Every hour I need you. by one, we bend our eyes to the tent of God Almighty. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. Oh, my Lord, defend my eyes to the steps. Oh, God, how I need you. Lord, I want.
Believe what you see and what others tell you that are outside of this world. This, you don't know exactly what love is, it's spelled out right here. In the life, in the ministry, in the words of Jesus Christ. Right here. There's nothing else you need. Everything that you need is right here in this world to learn what love truly is. And if you are loving in a way that is outside of this book, I'm sorry to tell you this, but you're wrong. There is no true definition of what love is other than what Jesus gave to us. So let's gain what love is by reading this and understanding this. Outside of that, nothing else really matters about what the world tells us what love is. That's what matters. Father, we thank you for this day. We glorify you, we honor you, we praise you in this place. Lord, help us to walk in that love, the love that you have shown to us. Help us to be who you have called us to be, Father. Direct us, guide us. Help us to walk in step with you, Father. Loving not only our church family that's beside us, but loving our family in our homes, loving our community, loving you. Let's walk in that love, learning to grow in it every single day, to be imitators of you. We glorify you, we honor you, we praise you, we give you all the glory. In Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Be careful driving home. Let's know that God stops. Have a great day. Let's get it.